Across Northwest, people are running into the wall Kieran is about to describe. Kieran is fictional. The wall is not. This is their story. In Wythenshawe and Sale East, among the most deprived constituencies in England, transport infrastructure projects remain trapped in Treasury spreadsheets while skilled construction workers sit unemployed and communities stay cut off from opportunity. The engineering expertise to build better rail links exists here, the materials are available, but the investment never arrives. This is what happened when Kieran tried to change that.
I grew up watching my dad leave for Manchester Airport every morning at 5:30, back when he had steady work in maintenance. Our estate in Wythenshawe felt like an island then, cut off from the rest of Manchester by patchy bus routes and long walks to the nearest train station. When I started my own family, I swore my daughter Maisie wouldn't grow up the same way, spending 2 hours on buses just to reach a decent school. After the 2008 crash killed half the building sites in Manchester, I retrained as a transport planning technician. I believed infrastructure was the future, that if we could just connect our communities properly, everything else would follow. I spent years learning the technical side, understanding how transport networks actually function, what makes them work or fail. In 2019, I put together detailed proposals for extending the Metrolink to serve Wythenshawe properly. I'd done the feasibility studies myself, mapped the optimal routes, calculated passenger projections, the numbers made sense, the need was obvious to anyone who'd ever tried to get from our estate to the city centre without a car. I took my proposals to Transport for Greater Manchester first. They listened politely, even seemed impressed with the technical work. But when I asked about next steps, they shook their heads. The Department for Transport had rejected the business case, they said, due to insufficient central funding allocation for northern transport schemes. They made it sound like a natural law, something beyond anyone's control. I contacted my MP next. She passed me directly to the Department for Transport, which felt like progress. A civil servant there was willing to discuss the proposals over the phone. He acknowledged the quality of my work, said the case for better transport links in Wythenshawe was compelling from an economic development perspective. Then came the but. The Treasury has implemented strict spending controls, he explained. We simply cannot afford new rail infrastructure outside the committed HS2 route. There is no funding. I accepted this at first. It sounded reasonable, responsible even. Governments have budgets, budgets have limits. I understood that much. Determined to work within those constraints, I enrolled in a transport policy course at Manchester Metropolitan University. If I couldn't build the infrastructure immediately, I could at least build my expertise, prepare for when the funding situation improved. The course was excellent, but something struck me immediately. Half the places sat unfilled. Not because people weren't interested, but because they couldn't afford the fees. Here was training designed to create exactly the transport planning expertise the region needed, and potential students were being priced out. Through the Campaign for Better Transport, where I started volunteering, I met three former colleagues from my construction days. All of them had specialist rail experience. All of them were unemployed. They wanted to work, had the skills to work, but the projects weren't happening. Same story everywhere, one of them told me. The expertise is here, the demand is here, but they keep saying there's no money. That phrase kept coming up, no money. As though pounds had become a finite natural resource, like oil or gold. I started digging deeper, visiting old training facilities around Greater Manchester. The former British Rail Training Centre in Gorton particularly caught my attention. It stood locked and empty, a substantial building with what looked like functioning equipment visible through the windows. The security guard there was more talkative than most. He had been keeping watch over the place for 2 years. Mothballed for budget reasons, he explained. Shame, really. All that equipment inside still works. Had a woman from Rochdale here last week, Donna, asking about nursing training centres. Same story everywhere, she said. Buildings sitting empty while people need training. I stood there looking at this locked facility, thinking about my unemployed former colleagues, the unfilled university places, the transport projects that never happened. If the people existed, and the buildings existed, and the equipment existed, what exactly was it that there is no money for? This was my turn. I started questioning what I'd accepted without thinking. The government that issues the pound had told me it couldn't find enough pounds to train people who were standing right there, ready to work. The same government that had somehow found money for bank bailouts, for tax cuts, for £1 billion infrastructure projects in London. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. In Wythenshawe, they all existed. the unemployed construction workers with rail experience, the transport planning students who couldn't afford fees, the empty training facilities, the communities that needed better connections. The excuse wasn't a fact, it was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. Someone in Westminster had decided that connecting my community wasn't a priority, then dressed that political decision as an accounting problem. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it couldn't find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It's the same logic as a household that says we cannot afford it, except a household doesn't issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still here, still watching, still pushing for the transport links Maisie and her generation deserve. But I understand now that what I experienced wasn't unique to transport, wasn't unique to Wivenshaw. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare.
What Kieran experienced has a name, logical fallacy. A logical fallacy occurs when someone makes an argument based on a false comparison. Comparing a goldfish bowl to the ocean because both contain water would be a logical fallacy. The size, the ecosystem, the very nature of what you're dealing with are completely different. Every time someone told Kieran there is no money, they were committing this exact fallacy. They were comparing the UK government to a household budget. A household must earn or borrow before it spends. A government that issues its own currency does not. When the Department for Transport said they cannot afford new rail infrastructure, they applied household logic to a currency issuer. When the Treasury implemented strict spending controls, they pretended the government was saving up like a family planning a holiday. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources. People, skills, materials, time. In Kieran's constituency, unemployed construction workers with rail expertise were sitting idle. Training facilities stood empty. University places went unfilled. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Wivenshaw and Sale East ranks 52 out of 543 English constituencies for deprivation, placing it in decile 1, the most deprived English indices of deprivation 2025, MHCLG. The constituency has 2,151 registered charities, Charity Commission Register, England and Wales. Total grants received amount to £33.6 million, 360 giving Grant Naville. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics produced by Blocked Britain.